Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 245. Nate is your tech engineer. We're your host, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's happening, Nate?
Not a whole lot. Having a good week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're Toddless again.
That's right. I thought you're like, we're having a good week, unfortunately. I was like, wait, what?
No, pause.
Yeah, pause.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. That's where punctuation comes in, right?
Yeah, to take care of some family business tonight.
So. That's right. Well, we're going to miss him again. Yep. I told him he's going to miss some good subjects, but we completely understand.
Yep.
But yeah, all is good. I have to say, don't you find this a little easier than what our other side project is, recording my book?
Yes.
Yes. It's
less editing.
I don't know that I've been nervous doing this podcasting for a while, but if I was even had any more ounce of like, you know, fear or insecurities or whatever, those are way out the window now that I'm reading a book to you. On the regular. But yeah, I find this, I like, not that I don't mind. I don't mind putting my book, you know, in a very organized and, you know, distinguished fashion or whatever. But this is so much easier just to talk than to have to like be, you know, because you're like, Sean, just read. You know, like, okay, change the word. Like,
nope, that's not what I wrote.
That's not what I wrote. Nope. I'm getting a little bit better. It didn't hurt that the other night that you mixed me a little drink. I told you, I was like, maybe we should just do this from now on, you know, like relax me a little bit. But yeah, so good week then, you said?
Yeah.
Minus the yawning.
Freezing my butt off on a roof with the cold and the wind.
Yeah. So the temperatures weren't bad, but it was cold, you know, like there's no sun and it's windy. It gets pretty cold out there.
Yep.
I'm lucky I didn't have to be out very long, but man, I can't imagine being out there. I don't think you could bundle up enough.
That's okay. I had hand warmers and toe warmers and had my ears covered. And
that's good.
Two sweatshirts and a welding jacket.
There's nothing like being inside, though, like in the actual heat. As soon as you come in, you're like, oh, this feels so nice.
Yeah, thaw out.
I'll never complain about being hot again. I probably will, but... well, good. Well, I'm glad that you're surviving, but yeah, that's no fun to work outside right now.
No.
But yeah, I'm having a good week. I can't really complain. We're getting closer to Christmas.
Yes, we are.
I ask a lot of my patients, I'm like, I'm going to ask you the dreaded question. They're like, what? Is it about my pain? Is it about how I'm feeling? I'm like, no, are you ready for Christmas? Because a lot of them are like, no, I'm not ready. And I'm like, it's going to come whether we're ready or not. And, you know, you don't have to put too much into it if you don't want to.
If you're keeping count, next week is the last full week until Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to put the heavy on people that still have to do their Christmas shopping?
Yep. You're running out of time.
Yeah. And you can only say, I'm going to be your presence so many years. And then people get tired of that, right? It's like the same old same. It's like getting socks every year, right?
Yep. It's like tie a bow.
My present is Nate again? Well, of course. All right. Well, cool. We are going to go into the first announcements. Nate, do you want to read those?
Yes, I can. We come together weekly, most of the time.
Right.
We're about 98%.
Hey, we're doing
honest to that.
That rounds up to 100%.
We have a lot of fun. We enjoy what we do and talking about the creepy and all that fun jazz. But we'd be doing an injustice if we didn't to look out for our listeners' mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will give out the numbers that you can reach out if you're struggling. Call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing.
That's right.
So yeah. Go get you some help.
That's right. Don't live on an island. Get yourself plenty of help. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough oomph in you or energy or light in you to get help, reach out to somebody and say, hey, I don't even have it in me. Please help me. How can mm-hmm. we figure this out? Get together with somebody. So strength in numbers isn't just a thing, I'm telling you.
Yep.
So, but yeah. So, well, thank you for reading that. I appreciate that.
Sometimes just getting up and moving does wonders.
That's right. Movement is medicine. I tell my patients mm-hmm. that a lot, right? And the muscles act like natural pumps and get things going. And yeah, it really, a body in motion stays in motion. All those things are true. Mm-hmm. You know, they sound trite and old, but but it's so true. Oh my gosh. There's been a few patients I've worked with, and I in my mind will sit there and think, man, I feel like I could be doing more. I wish I was doing more with these people or that person. And then they'll turn around. I've had a couple of them just this week say, I want to tell you thank you for all you do. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And part of it is, and I think we've talked about this before, is just showing up, just being there. Mm-hmm. That's half the battle, is just being there. And I was telling them, like, I'll show up, you show up, and we'll get something done, you know? So, but that means a lot to me, you know. I have one cute little lady. She loves to give me a hug. And today I thought she forgot, and it was at the end of the session, and she's like, well, here, I'm going to walk you to the door. That's a big deal for her. She wasn't able to even get up out of the chair not that long ago. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, let's do it. And then so she stand up, and she goes, come here, give me a hug. So I'm always like, I said, that does me just as much good as it does you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote, that's sweet. And more patients ask, and I know they do this to other therapist too, but it's funny. They say, now when you're done with me, will you still keep in contact with me? Will you still call me or come by when you can? I know you're busy, but, and it's like, sure. So I actually try to do that. I try mm-hmm. to still, you know, visit them or check in on them and make sure they're okay. I don't do it with all of them, because not some of them, when they're done, they want to be done and go on with their life. But some mm-hmm. of them, they just, you know, you've become part of their family almost. And so I'm honored, you know, mm-hmm. to do that kind of thing if that's what they want. But anyway, so yeah, we're in this together. It's a community, right?
Yep.
Are you getting the table shakes? What are we doing? I'm getting some tremors over. No, I'm kidding. So we don't have any special announcements. Anything else you want to say or forever hold your peace?
Holding my peace.
You're going to hold your peace? Okay. Mm-hmm. We are going to get right to the topic. And this one is mine, which I totally forgot. I said, whose topic was this? Oh, that's right. It's mine. It's kind of out there. It's kind of crazy. Not really. It's something that people probably don't know a lot about, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And it is Castle Frankenstein, Frankensteinberg, however you want to say it. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we used for this topic.
Yeah, it's by us Americans, Frankenstein Castle, but in German, it's Berg Frankenstein.
That's right. So it's, yeah, I would say Frankenstein.
Frankenbeans.
Out of this word, you could make it sound so many ways, but I just like the old traditional Frankenstein. Is a hilltop castle in the Odenwald overlooking the city of Darmstadt in Germany. This castle may have been an inspiration, may have been. Mary Shelley, when she wrote her 1818 Gothic novel, Frankenstein, or The Modern Prometheus. It's in southern Hesse, Germany, on the spurs, like I said, of the Odenwald mountain range. Close to the southern outskirts, like I said, of Darmstadt, is one of the many historic castles along the Hessian, also famous, whatever you call it, the Hessian Bergstrabe, I'm sure that's some German that I can't really pronounce, route, also famous for its vineyards and its mild climate.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that. Did you see what the Frankenstein is broken down into, uh-huh. what it means? Did you see that?
Yep. Franks are a Germanic tribe, and Stein is the German word for stone.
That's right.
So in the past, the word Stein also meant rock. So it refers to the rock the castle sits on. The big tribe of the Franks were ruling this region. The word Stein is common in names of landscapes, places, and castles in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, the term Frankenstein is a rather ordinary name for a castle in this region.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Smith, mm-hmm. Smith or Jones or whatever. I didn't know that. Did you know that about Frankenstein?
No, I did not know is a common name.
It's it sounds like it's a mouthful. Yeah. I mean, for us anyway.
Well, and everybody grew up with the Dr. Frankenstein
mm-hmm.
in their minds and had no idea that it was basically Smith.
So what's funny is, and we've talked about this before, but my favorite monsters are Frankenstein and Dracula. And of course, I tend to go a little bit more towards Dracula, but I loved Frankenstein too when I was a kid. I loved reading both books, both stories. I've enjoyed the Netflix, you know, they took a little bit of a different spin on it, and it's not exactly like the book, and some people are complaining about that, but I love it. I think mm-hmm. it was great the way they did it. So I love the monster, you know, and I had to tell it's funny that my kids, and even though they've read the book in high school, they're like, I told them, I said, you know, they kept talking about Frankenstein as the monster. And I'm like, you know, the monster's not Frankenstein. It's just a creature or the monster. And they're like, it is? We thought it was Frankenstein. Yeah. No, the doctor's Frankenstein. But a lot of people make that mistake, which is really interesting. But I'm sure Mary Shelley's still like, oh my gosh, it's not that. That's not the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Frankenstein Castle Chapel, and it's this cute little chapel, but it says, before 1250, Lord Conrad II Rhys of Bruberg built Frankenstein Castle and thereafter named himself von Unzu Frankenstein. The first document proving the existence of the castle is in 1252 that bears his name. He was the founder of the Free Imperial Barony of Frankenstein, which was subject only to the jurisdiction of the emperor, with possession in lots and lots of German words. I'm going to try it, though. Niederbeerbach, the Drumstadt, or Darmstadt, like I said earlier, Akstad, Watara, I don't know, I threw some Asian in there, didn't I? And Hess. Additionally, the Frankensteins held other possession and sovereignty rights as Burgraves in Zwinsenburg and lots more German that, man, I'm not going to sift through that. The hill on which the castle stands was probably occupied by another castle from the 11th century, which fell into ruins after Frankenstein Castle was built a short distance away to the northwest. Claims of an even older predecessor upon the hill are widespread, but historically unlikely.
Hmm.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, looking at pictures of this place, I mean, it is a castle. It's pretty cool by all rights, but there are other castles there in Germany that are really, really cool, like Disney castle-esque.
You're talking about Neuschwanstein, aren't you? Yeah. that is the inspiration for Cinderella's castle.
Mm-hmm. So when you compare it to those beautiful castles, this one sort of looks like a afterthought. They're just like, let's throw some stone together and build a tower. And
this castle is a lot older too, though, to be fair. So it was a little more rudimentary the way it was built. Then like Neuschwanstein, that's what somebody told me, like, you know, that's not that old. It's considering castle ages, which is true, but it's a very, to me, it's still pretty darn old. It's interesting because it says the castle was used as a refuge and a hospital falling into ruins in the 18th century. The two towers that are so distinctive today are a historically inaccurate restoration carried out in the mid-19th century. That's interesting, too. On Halloween night in 1952, John Keel sent three American Forces Network reporters to Frankenstein Castle to explore the castle for a live radio broadcast. The reporters were told that a local legend claimed Frankenstein's monster would return to the castle that night. Reporter Carl Nielsen investigated the castle's crypt, where Neil had set up a statue in the middle of the crypt and rigged it to move and topple as a prank, terrifying Nielsen. Reportedly, frightened radio listeners bombarded the station with calls and military police were dispatched to the castle. That's hilarious, in my opinion.
Hmm.
I mean, now, it probably wasn't then, but, you know.
But, like always with a lot of these old establishments, there are legends and myths that influence the culture and traditions of folks that live around that area. And this isn't short of having its own folk tales and myths. One of them is Alchemist Dipple, Mary Shelley, and the Monster. In 1673, Johann Conrad Dipple was born in the castle, where he was later engaged as a professional alchemist. It is suggested that Dipple influenced Mary Shelley's fantasy when she wrote her novel Frankenstein. Though there is no mention of the castle in Shelley's journals from that time. However, it is known that in 1814, prior to writing the famous novel, Shelley took a journey to the River Rhine. She spent a few hours in the town of Jernsheim, which is located about 16 kilometers, about 10 miles, from the castle. Several nonfiction books on the life of Mary Shelley claim Dipple as the possible influence.
Uh-huh.
Dipple created an animal oil known as Dipple's Oil.
That sounds original.
Mm-hmm. Which was supposed to be the equivalent to the elixir of life. Dipple attempted to purchase Frankenstein or Castle Frankenstein in exchange for his elixir formula, which he claimed he had recently discovered. The offer was turned down. There are also rumors that during his stay at Frankenstein Castle, Dipple practiced not only alchemy, but also anatomy, and may have performed experiments on dead bodies that he exhumed. There are rumors that he dug up bodies and performed medical experiments on them at the castle, and that a local clerk would have warned his parish that Dipple had created a monster that was brought to life by a bolt of lightning. The use of lightning to bring Frankenstein's monster to life comes from the 1931 film and isn't in the novel.
That's correct.
There are local people who still claim today that this actually happened and that this tale was related to Shelley's stepmother by the Brothers Grimm, the German, what is this,
ethnologist, yeah.
However, none of these claims have been proven to this date, and some local researchers doubt any connection between Mary Shelley and Frankenstein Castle.
And I kind of doubt that. I think that there is, like I said, I like to think, I will never know.
Yeah. But I'm sure she had to pull from some historical accounts and history.
This kind of leans on that, like I said, the Frankenstein movie on Netflix. And they're talking about, I won't give any spoilers away, but they do a fair blending of the Hollywood feeling of Frankenstein and Mary Shelley's original. And there's bits and pieces of all of it. And then they do, you know, partly from Victor's, maybe this is a little spoiler, but Victor's perspective and then from the monster's perspective. And I think that's really cool.
Yep.
But in the, they do the lightning bolt, which is neat.
They do the lightning bolt, but traditionally the lightning bolt shot the electricity into the monster, whereas this new one on Netflix, he had batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so the which lightning, is cool. Powered the batteries, which then gave
it goes into juice. But they go as deep as going into like the lymphatic system and how that goes into all the there's spiritual chakra systems and all this. That was wild to me that they really went that deep into it. The other cool thing is that the laboratory was amazing. So Castle Frankenstein in that one was super cool because it was like an old fortress that just they never really completed or finished or used or whatever. The neat thing about that was they had that face of that woman that's like, you know, she's like screaming, and it's Medusa is what it is. Because first I thought that looks a lot like Medusa, and that's exactly what it is. And they put that on there on the wall on purpose to symbolize a misunderstood monster, and that's what they wanted Frankenstein's monster to be in this movie, which is and it really is in the novel as well. Which I thought that was so cool. The director also talked about number one, he's not anti-AI, but he's kind of like, look, we can do this kind of stuff without, I mean, we can make some special effects the old-fashioned way. But he also, his whole thing about bringing this story to light right now is to really think about, to like put the spotlight on thinking about AI and are we ready to play gods and allow this force to become out of our control potentially. And I think that's it. And I thought, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. And it was kind of cool that when I watched it from that, you know, venue, because I listened to some interviews before I watched it and I thought, this is kind of cool that this was all set up a certain way on purpose. So that made me like it even more. But
well, and if you compare the creature to AI, like when he was brought to life, Dr. Frankenstein, I think, had it in his mind. And, you know, I don't know if it's documented or, in, you know, straight up said, but like, I think he was in thought of, it already had a brain, it already had experiences, already had a life.
So that's all going to come back. So when we're going to start from a baseline of him having consciousness and understanding. Like
he's gonna be conscious, he's going to be, have some intelligence to him. Well, that's not the case. It's start from infancy again.
Yeah.
So if you do correlate that with AI of today, AI is in its infancy stage. So what happens?
Rapidly growing.
Yeah, and it's exponential on its learning, just like the creature did. The creature learns fairly quickly, but you have to allow it that time and experience to do all that.
Yeah.
So I can see how AI is going to be the same thing. It's going to be out of control and beyond his creator.
Well, also, he's not super nice to the creature, and it's the same thing. Like, it depends also how we nurture AI. Are we going to just be like, hey, you're our servant and serve us and be a jerk to it? And I mean, if it gets the opportunity, it will be kind of like, I can't do that, Hal, you know, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, you know, like, I know that you're going to shut me down, you know, like, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. Yeah. You know, so, there was a guy I was watching, it was Rogan, and it was one of the leading AI dudes, and he's super positive. I don't know if you watched that one yet or listened to it, but is super positive about, oh, it'll be fine. Oh, no, there's not going to be an AI to take over. And I appreciate his optimism, and I hope he's right, but there, you know, Rogan kept saying, like, yeah, sure. Like, still a lot could go wrong, you know? And he's, so it makes me feel good that somebody's actually saying, you know, look, it really depends on what we put into it. And we're really trying to make sure that this is something to serve humanity and help us and, you know, help us to, you know, further ourselves and grow. And so that made me feel a little bit better, because at least somebody's out there actually verbalizing that, not just like, oh, I don't know what's happening, you know, because you kind of feel, you get that sense that there's not really a lot of people talking about it, or at least not in the public, discussion enough for people to like say, you know, to have any faith in it.
Yeah.
You know, but there are people back there truly putting thoughts into this, you know, as it progresses, I hope, at least it seems like it, but it is hard to have faith when you don't hear it. Like I said, there's not a lot of dialogue that's openly discussed, but.
I don't sort of getting on this whole AI kick. I sort of look at it, cause I've used it a little bit here and there, and some stuff it does pretty well, but then as you toy with it a little bit longer, you can tell that it starts making mistakes and not precisely doing what you want it to do. So then if you really go down the rabbit hole and start thinking about that, is it doing it on purpose, or is it truly confused with what outcome you're wanting it to give you? Because if it's doing it on purpose, maybe it's doing a ruse of
trying to frustrate you.
Well, not frustrate you, but not
show its
true potential.
Yeah.
And that way you're just like, the safeguards are down, because you're like, oh, you know, it's still work in progress. It still messes up. It's still this. It's still that. But is it?
Well,
maybe it's a good question. So that nobody is really putting their effort into shaping it and mm-hmm. putting safeguards
yeah.
and sort of letting it free range, and that's what it wants.
Yeah. And that's very, so that's a very interesting point. According to this guy, it was that's the process of it learning, and it's mm-hmm. going to, like, you know, no matter how many times you want it to come up with a certain conclusion and it doesn't, and then you're like, okay, let's try it again. It's kind of like, because I say, well, I don't use AI, and I've used it some too, in the mm-hmm. sense of, I didn't realize I was using it, but somebody said, well, you're Googling, aren't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, I Google
Google's
things.
AI now.
Google's AI now. And that's mm-hmm. what my brother is trying to get that through my head. Like, don't worry about using these, you know, what is it, Gemini? I can't even think of a chat. I always get it wrong. It's
GTP.
GTP. I was going to say PT. GTP or something. I don't know. I was changing. But anyway, whatever you're using, it is basically an advanced search engine. Because mm-hmm. he's telling me, like, no, this is a search engine. It's just the newest form. And he was like, yeah, go into Google. But now that's what it'll give you right off the top, is all the AI that they found in mm-hmm. you know, a split second for you. And I'm like, oh, so I guess I am using it. So it is interesting. But it does. So, and the same thing on your phone, when you're using it to, like, you know, text somebody through voice, it does. It still gets me wrong often, or it gets out of context and it'll use the wrong words or verbiage or whatever all the time. So, and it I feel that too, where it's like, are you doing this just to frustrate me? Like, is this real? You know, like, and I know I'm a fast talker, I'm a mumbler, and I'm, you know, if I'm not careful, mm-hmm. I'll butcher the English language very quickly. But even then it's like, man, I have said, you know, I use Jude all the time. I'll say, I did this, you know, let the family know, mm-hmm. like, hey, I took him out, he went poop. Hey, Jude ate. You know, it's still, it's determined to put dude. It'll mm-hmm. say dude every time. I'm like, no, it's Jude.
I used Gemini on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, trying to tell it to call Dane. It's
yeah.
like, call Jane.
It's yeah.
like, no. Calling now. Yeah. I was like, I said no.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
This stupid thing. This is why I don't use this crap.
And I'm still like, I don't know. I'm still dragging my feet, because I still feel like when it comes to, and my sister is a big influence on this too, of I don't want the creativity of humans to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it is cool. Like, you showed me first, like, well, just put, you can put in a picture, or you can say, hey, create this picture. And it's like, well, I'll be darned. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I showed Augie Brewer the other day, and he was like, well, he's going to try it for some Oppo stuff. And I was showing him, like, look, this is what you could do. And I was like, I know, this is really cool, but I'm still kind of leery about it, because mm-hmm. I'm like, even though it could do cool stuff, like, I don't know. I think it's unbelievable, you know, man, the things it can do. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm still a little bit of an old fuddy-duddy, and I have a girl I work with, and she's all the time. She's like, well, just put that in the chat, and, you know, it'll tell you what to do. And I'm like, but I want to use my own executive functioning, and I want to mm-hmm. use my own problem solving. But it is interesting that this Frankenstein, you know, discussion does tie in completely to all that. So there's another legend and lore. It is Lord George and the Dragon. One of the most famous legends is about Lord George and a dragon by August Nod Nagel. These people and their made-up names, right? 1803 to 1853. It is said that long ago, a dangerous dragon lived in the garden near the well at the castle of Burg Frankenstein. The peasants of a neighboring village, Niederbierbach, they lived in fear of the mighty dragon. It is said the dragon would creep in at night and eat the villagers and their children in their sleep. One day, a knight by the name of Lord George rode into town. The townsfolk were desperate. Seeing a brave knight gave them hope, and they poured out their troubles and sorrows as he promised to help them. The next day, he put on his armor and rode up to the castle, into the garden, and straight in the well where the dragon was taking a rest in the sun. Lord George got off his horse and attacked the dragon. The dragon fought for his life, puffed and spewed out fire and steam. Hours passed as the two continued to battle. Finally, just as the knight was about to drop from exhaustion, and just as the dragon was going to drop from exhaustion, the knight plunged his sword in the underbelly of the beast and was victorious. But as the dragon struggled in agony, it coiled its tail with the poisonous spine around the knight's belly and stung. Lord George and the dragon both fell. The villagers were so happy and relieved that the dragon was finally slain, they wanted to give the knight a proper, honorable burial. They brought him to the church of Niederbierbach in the valley on the east side of the castle and gave him a marvelous tomb. To this day, you can still visit and pay your respects to Lord George, the knight who slew the dragon in the 13th century. Isn't that wild?
Interesting.
It is cool. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that, and I have never heard a story quite. You know, you always think, yeah, that's made up. You know, it's just an old myth. But yeah, he actually has. He has a place that you can come see his tomb.
Wow. They also have a fountain of youth.
We need to get there immediately. No, I'm just kidding. Time's passing.
So hidden beneath the herb garden of the castle, there is a fountain of youth. Legend is that in the first full moon night after Walpurgis night, old women from the nearby village had to undergo test of courage. The one who succeeded became rejuvenated to the age she had been on the night of her wedding. It is not known if this tradition is still practiced. So that's evidently weird. It only worked for women?
Yeah, I think that's weird because aren't men, I mean, you know, like they both need to be courageous, but what about the men, right?
And then I'm looking up what Walpurgis night.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, the same thing.
Is the eve of the Christian feast day of Saint Walpurga.
That's a saint I've never heard of.
An 8th century abbess in Francisca.
Mm-hmm.
And is celebrated on the night of the 30th of April and the day of 1st of May. This feast commemorates the canonization of Saint Walpurga and the movement of her relics to Ichenstadt, both of which occurred on the 1st of May, 870. So, yeah, it's very, very old. Let's see, Saint Walpurga was held by the Christians of Germany for battling pests, rabies, and whooping cough, as well as against witchcraft.
It was this whole you know, it's called Walpurgis, whatever, but it's also called the burning of the witches because of that. So yeah, he was apparently big time against evil spirits and witchcraft and witchery and all that stuff. That's wild.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Things that you learn.
I know. Oh, well, that's why we do the show. Have you learned anything over all these episodes?
Yep.
Have you?
I learned that I don't know nothing.
Yep. I know. Isn't it wild, though? I mean, it really is. Let's see. So, also, a gold rush. So, in the 18th century, a gold rush caused some turmoil near Frankenstein Castle. It is believed that a legend and visions of fortune tellers caused local residents to believe that a treasure was hidden near the castle. In 1763, chaotic scenes took place, which even an intervention of a priest from the neighboring village of Niederbierbach could not stop. Even though no gold-filled vaults were ever found, fortune hunters did not abandon the digging until one Johann Heinrich Draut was killed when his dig collapsed on him. He was given a suicide's burial in 1770, 1787, and 1788. Further attempts were made, but nothing of any value was ever found. It was then that local authorities banned further gold digging. So don't go digging for gold anymore.
No gold diggers there.
That's right. So, there, so I was telling you about this, Nate, before we started. This is really interesting. And my phone wants to update right now. Really? Right now? Okay, so hold on. Can you believe that? Like, I've never... I really do have it right now. So I found these people, and they are called the Grim Life Collective. And it is... I think it's husband and wife, or they're at least a couple. And I can't quite remember what his name is. But he calls her Baby Ghoul, and they do what we say we're going to do, which is go around, and they don't really investigate and do like paranormal investigating, but they just go to these really cool locations, talk about them, do about a 20, 30, maybe 40 minute video She's walking around, he's walking around. They tell some history, they tell some cool stories, some folklore, tell, you know, how they, like, they went to Loch Ness, they went to what I tell you, Bohemian Grove and the Bohemian Club. And but though I saw one of the videos on Castle Frankenstein from these two, and I'm like, who are these two? You know, they're kind of dark and macabre, and they have, you know, like the capes and whatever, and you know, look like they kind of look like they'd be like vampires or whatever. She always has, you know, colored hair, and they're actually really cool, really interesting. And I even found some of their music, and their the main song that they play on their episodes is called Calamity Man, and it's really good. And so I was showing you, I was like, you should listen. I sent him to Pete Peterson too. And I'm like, dude, you should totally listen to these people. Really interesting. I do think, who knows, in an alternate universe or maybe in the future, these people and our podcast like go together perfectly. I like, and then I, the guy even says, do this. Like, if you feel like there's something that you should, someplace you should go see it. Find a way, you know, just do it. Like, look at us. We're here in Germany at this castle, or we're, you know, in Scotland, you know, looking at Loch Ness. And that was another one they did, Loch Ness. And they go all over the place. And it's interesting when the Loch Ness episode, they were talking there. One of the locals there said, where are you guys from? And they're like, oh, we're from LA. And he's like, oh, LA, I'd love to go to LA. I've always wanted to go. And he said, here I am in this magical, mythical place of Loch Ness. I'm discovering all these amazing things I've always wanted to do since I was a little kid. And this guy's telling me he's from this magical place. And he's like, oh, LA, I've always wanted to go there. And he said, isn't it wild that this earth is so, you know, world is full of so many mysteries. And, but some people are in your mystery and they're like, oh man, I want to check out your mystery. And it was really cool the way he was talking about that. But yeah, so totally check out this Grim Life Collective. These guys are really cool. They're YouTubers. They're a lot of fun. I like them a lot. So, but it, like I said, this was how I started seeing some of this Castle Frankenstein and some of the information about it. So,
heck yeah.
They do have ghost hunters and investigations here. That was kind of my leading up to talking about these guys. Frankenstein Castle gained international attention when the sci-fi TV show Ghost Hunters International made a whole episode about the castle in 2008. It's episode 107, and claimed it would show significant paranormal activity. The investigators met with a Frankenstein expert who guided Rob Demarest, Andy Andrews, Brian Harnois, and their colleague through the castle and discussed its legends and paranormal sightings. After discussing their personal experiences, the team used audio and video devices for their investigation. Sounds from the chapel and the entrance tower sounded like words, and an ultrasonic recorder picked up signals in the chapel. A recorded sound was identified as a phrase in Old German that means Arbo is here, whoever Arbo is, but he was there, which was interpreted as Arbo, probably meaning Arbogast, the name of a knight of the castle, announcing his presence and claim over the land. A second soundbite was interpreted to mean come here. The term left Frankenstein Castle convinced, I'm sorry, the team left Frankenstein Castle convinced that there is some sort of paranormal activity going on. I think if something gets old enough, there's definitely going to be activity, right?
Yeah, for sure. There are some weird phenomena near the castle also. In a remote part of the forest behind Frankenstein's castle, on a 417-meter high mountain, Mount Ibs, I believe.
I think so. Ibis, something.
Compasses do not work properly due to the magnetic stone formations of natural origin. Local nature enthusiasts and witchcraft practitioners are said to perform rituals at these magnetic places on special occasions, like the Walpurgis Night that we spoke about. The one we were talking about,
right? Yep.
Or summer solstice. The magnetic stones can be visited by everyone, but it is advisable not to disturb ongoing ritual activities at any means. Legend has it that the Mount Ibis is the second most important meeting place for witches in Germany after Mount Brocken in the Harz.
Don't worry, I wasn't aware of either one of them.
Nope.
I've never been there. Not so much in the witchery way, right? It would be interesting to watch. I would. Mm-hmm. I think that's fascinating. But yeah, I don't think I'd want to get too close.
So yeah, that's pretty wild. I wonder what makes this. I mean, obviously the stone probably has iron of some sort in it, mm-hmm. and then got magnetized somehow. But yeah, that's
still makes it pretty creepy though. Right?
Yeah, I'm wondering how did that naturally occur?
I don't know.
And have enough effect to mess up your compass.
That's right. There was some other regional tales and mysteries. Close to Frankenstein's castle, a large Felsenmeer, which is Sea of Rocks, near the village of Lattertal is assumed to be a major scene of the more German Nibelungenlied. Looks like too long of a word to even be a word. Allegedly, Siegfried the Dragon Slayer on a hunting trip leading him from the Burgundian. Ooh, okay. I just attacked that, didn't I? City of Worms into the Odenwald was murdered by Hagen of Troji at the Falsenmeers. Oh my goodness, Siegfried's Kelly.
There you go.
You like that? And which means Siegfried's wellspring. Mm-hmm. Of course, right now it's a tourist attraction. They said that over the years now they've had a lot of tourist attractions. They do. It sounded like they do have festivals, especially around Halloween and Samhain and all that stuff. And the people that was watching the video, they said the last time they had come, they decided not to video there because there was so much trash and it was just a dump. Like people had just like ransacked it in one of these festivals. There was, they have even like wrote on everything and, you know, left graffiti. And he said, so when they wanted to give it some time and come back when it was, you know, they wanted to like be able to pay respect to the place. And then when they did their videoing, it was so much, it was like, wow, it was really cool. Cause in these videos, you feel like you're there, which a good YouTuber or a good, you know, documentary series or whatever, they do a good job of making you feel like, oh, I'm with them. Oh, I get to, you know, I'm on the adventure too. Which I like that, but I also would like to be there too. Mm-hmm. I'm like physically there. But yeah, they said the castle's located, it's located for sport activities like hiking, mountain biking. Normally the castle's open to the public until late at night. On-site parking is possible right at the castle and a restaurant. Oh, there is a restaurant there too. I remember that. There's a restaurant that serves food and refreshments. Admission and parking are free except during special occasions like the Halloween festival I was talking about. When there's a charge for admission, however, there are no further tourist facilities on the site. So just the, you can visit the grounds, like I said, and then go to the restaurant. That'd be kind of mm-hmm. cool. You think the food's good?
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet it is.
Heck yeah. Go have some Wiener Schnitzel.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ornate like what you typically think of a castle, like I said earlier, but I mean, it's still really cool. I mean, it'd be awesome to walk around and check it out.
Well, they said that this would be, so there's a lot of places that would be really cool to celebrate Halloween or the spooky season. This, and then also like Dracula's castle would be great too, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's some of this castle that's in disarray. Some of it has collapsed and deteriorated. It's not in pristine shape. The tower still looks relatively good. But yeah, there's definitely certain sections where the walls are up. There's no roof or anything over it. So yeah, it definitely gives it a certain feel and look.
We would still have it as our headquarters, though, right? Is that what?
Oh yeah,
what
there's still plenty of roof left. Yeah, this will definitely be a really cool visit.
I love the fact that we've gotten to talk about Frankenstein's monster, Frankenstein and Mary Shelley and the whole deal. Mm-hmm. I just still love, you know, we talked about in the past too, about how, you know, she was, Mary Shelley was inspired, but I'm sure by all kind of things in her life, or, you know, places she visited or folklore, but that she wrote this amazing horror story, basically, when, so there was a volcanic eruption at that time or around that time. So when she wrote Frankenstein, what, 1818, and there had been, it was like a, it, almost like an apocalyptic type weather, they said. Because I was, when I heard about bad weather, I always thought it was like just really rainy season or something. They just stuck inside. It was actually so much volcanic ash from this volcano that had erupted that it was just dismal for like the entire year or whatever. And so that was part of what kept them inside. And Lord Byron, and then you know, Percy Shelley, and then Mary Shelley. And they were like, let's, you know, write horror stories, you know, together. And that's what, or together separately, and then see who can write up, who can make the best one. And that's how that came from, or, you know, that sprang from. So that to me has always been fascinating, that, you know, and then it's still with us after all these, you know, tens of, you know, well, whatever, hundreds of years, a couple hundred years.
Yeah. I found, an article, and it, says that Castle Frankenstein is now in ruins with only two towers, a restaurant, and a chapel remaining. So, yeah.
This is, so in this, there's so many castles in this world that I think if we just picked a castle and every week we did a castle, I think we could still do hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes, right? Infinite, you know, numbers. There are, in studying this Frankenstein castle or Berg castle, and or Frankenstein Berg or whatever it's called, I found this other castle that which we have to cover at some point, and it's called Yester Castle. And this, I've never heard of this one, but it's in Scotland. So Yester Castle in East Lothian, Scotland, is a ruined castle famously associated with the legend of being built by goblins. The castle's main claim is to claim to fame is the underground chamber known as the Goblin Ha or Goblin Hall, a Gothic vault believed to have been constructed by hobgoblins under the command of Sir Hugo de Giffard, a 13th century nobleman reputed to be a magician and necromancer. When I heard this, so those, the people I'm talking about, the Grim, you know, the Grim Life, people are, they go to this place too. And it's so cool. And they talk about it. I'm like, a castle built by goblins. And when they visit, I'm like, this place totally could have been, you know, built by goblins. So,
yeah.
But I've never heard of that. So they're just, every time you think, oh man, I've heard of everything, you haven't. So I said, that's, I had to bring that up because I had that pulled up. I'm like, I'm totally going to add that to the list. That'll probably be a nice little mini, but it's just kind of a fun. It's fun that you can see, you know, be looking at one of these castles and like, what the heck is this place? And where is that at? And what's going on here? So, but yeah, so I love this. I mean, this is a fun discussion, and I knew it would be because it's totally a place I'd love to go. I mean, I'd totally eat this up. Visiting it day or night, I would totally say the night. Probably be very uncomfortable, but I'd still do it. We probably stay. You wouldn't actually, no sleeping would get done, just like we've said other places. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's quite the place.
It's a
lot of history.
It's a contender for the Mako headquarters for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Check, right? And if Frankenstein's monster does come around, he'd be welcome to hang out there.
Yeah.
Right. Just don't destroy us. Don't rip our arms off and beat us to death with a ram. All right. Hey, you got anything else on Castle Frankenstein?
Nope. I think we hit all the bullet points.
Very good. Yeah, the other castle you're looking at, we'll have to cover that one too, because that one looked pretty neat. A little more put together, right? Literally, I'd probably know ruins in that other one, right? So what do you think I'm going to do? You think it's going to be a dark side or a light side or an in-between, or I'm not going to do one? How am I throw you a little curveball?
I would say dark side.
Okay.
Just because of talking about Frankenstein.
Yeah. Well, you're reading my mind, and that is absolutely the way I went. It's Metallica, Some Kind of Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, you figured that was going to be right. To give a little bit of background, which you probably know, but... song that James Hatfield described to producer Bob Rock as being about a Frankenstein creature or some kind of monster. Thus, it was also used as a very fitting title for the 2004 documentary about the recording of Saint Anger and the turmoil surrounding it. Have you ever seen that? Did you ever see that mm-hmm. documentary?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought this was a perfect way to kind of capstone this. Let's see. I got to find the top of the lyrics. These are the eyes that can't see me. These are the hands that drop your trust. These are the boots that kick you around. This is the tongue that speaks on the inside. These are the ears that ring with hate. You proud of me? Mm-hmm. This is the face that I'll never change. This is the fist that grinds you down. This is the voice of silence no more. There are the legs that... I'm sorry. These are the legs that in circles run. This is the beating you'll never know. These are the lips that taste no freedom. This is the feel that's not so safe. That's so hard to read. Like, seeing this is a little bit easier, I'm sure. You don't want me to sing it, though. This is the face that you'll never change. This is the God that ain't so pure. This is the God that is not pure. This is the voice of silence no more. We the people. Are we the people? We the people. Are we the people? Some kind of monster. Some kind of monster. This monster lives. This is the face that stones you cold. This is the moment that needs to breathe. These are the claws that scratch these wounds. This is the pain that never leaves. This is the tongue that whips you down. This is the burden of every man. These are the screams that pierce your skin. This is the voice of silence no more. So it goes into some, I am going to go ahead and finish these lyrics because the lyrics are great. If you haven't heard the song, you'll love it. This is the test of flesh and soul. This is the trap that smells so good. This is the flood that drains these eyes. These are the looks that chill to the bone. These are the fears that swing overhead. These are the weights that hold you down. This is the end that you will never see. This is the end that will never end. This is the voice of silence no more. We the people, are we the people? We the people, are we the people? Some kind of monster, some kind of monster. This monster lives. So it does go on, and I'm not going to sing the end of it, but great song. Like I said, it really, I mean, it gets you just the feel of those words makes you think like, yeah, there's some kind of monster there. So it's interesting that it's that concept of a monster within us, a monster that is formless. But then there's also this idea of, like I said, that the monster that's in this discussion, is kind of underlying all of it, which is fun because think about if Mary Shelley had never come up with Frankenstein, you know, Frankenstein would be still a cool name, you know, it'd be a lot, just like, you know, talking about like how prominent it is in Germany, but it wouldn't have that same, you know, when people hear Frankenstein, at least over here, I don't know if it's all over the world. When I hear Frankenstein, it stops me in tracks for a minute. And I think of specifically the story of Frankenstein and the horror behind it. I don't really think of anything else. I don't think of stone and strength and Germany and all these things. I think of, you know, one of the best horror stories ever told, you know? So, I just think that's really interesting. So, and I figured you'd love it, especially being Metallica.
Oh yeah. No, that's a good song. That was a good pick. I thought you were going to do Frankenstein by Edgar Winter Group.
It was too easy, though. I figured
there's no lyrics. Yeah,
exactly right. I was like, we'll just play it now. Do. Yeah, no, that wouldn't work so much, right? They'd be like, and that's the song, and that's the show, right? That's hilarious. Right, exactly. Too easy. Yeah, you don't want me doing that. Okay, we're heading to shout outs next. Do you have any shout outs?
Shout outs. No, I can't really think of any.
Okay.
Well, yeah, shout out to, my wife and my oldest boy and his girlfriend and her mom. We all went to see, what is that? Hamilton?
Oh, yeah. Was it good?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was not anything that I thought it was going to be. Uh-huh. if you have the chance to see that live.
I've heard it's great, fantastic. And the music and all that. I've never watched it. I've never seen it.
Very well done.
They say it's so not Hamilton, actually. Alexander Hamilton, well, which is hilarious. Which is okay.
It's very historical. I don't know how precise they keep the entire story, but they still talk about the story.
It's not, but it's fun. It's not Alexander Hamilton, the person, like the real historical person.
Yeah.
They
take a lot of liberties, but the actual events
that happened with him
and Aaron Burr. But yeah, there's a lot of artistic liberties.
People that like the historical, and people have their foibles, people have their mistakes, people have their good and their bad. So there was a lot of good to Alexander Hamilton, but he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet as a historical figure. And I love that about him, of course. But in the Hamilton, they're like, yeah, that's so not him. And they actually tried to turn him into some kind of different hero or hero of the time. And it's like, no, in his place, that's not really how he doesn't fit that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, I'm not like poo-pooing the fact that they did it, because I think it's still cool. And I like to see it. I need to see it because I've heard really good things about it. So what do I know? I haven't even seen it. But I've just heard people say, it's so funny because it's not actually Alexander Hamilton, and that people are like saying, oh, he's this champion of the people and he's wonderful and he'd be great in these times. And he might have been a different person had he lived now, but we all would be different if we lived in different times.
The way I sort of looked at it and correlated it to today's time was basically our two separate parties. That was sort of the beginnings of all that. It's one side of the party is very strong and opinionated in going this direction, and the other party is very opinionated and determined to go their direction. And
which is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, it's amazing we're still all here, but yeah,
they butt heads a lot and often, and some parts they sort of do the bipartisan aspect of it, but they're still pretty ruthless since it ends in the gun draw duel. So they're very, very into them being right.
they had to. It's interesting because that there was a lot of compromise that had to eventually happen for our country to become a country, because otherwise we would just ripped ourselves to shreds before we could have even fought for a republic. But it's still so interesting. But these are human beings, and they were messed up and crazy.
They're
guys
trying to figure out how to,
and they didn't agree,
establish the government.
Yeah,
Hamilton had,
which is a new one. I mean, a whole new concept.
Yeah. Had a document of I can't remember how many pages, 152 pages of these are our rules and how we should structure everything. Yeah. And then, Franklin and all them were like, it's too much. We just need
It's a lot. Yeah, it is a lot. It's a lot. It's not untrue. But yeah, and thank God, like I said, all of them were, they couldn't agree on everything. Like that was a big, Ken Burns, I think I told you he did the Revolutionary War documentary, and he was talking about that too. And a big question is why did they get rid of slavery then? It could have saved us some time, not having to do the Civil War and everything. And there's so many ups and downs with that, and at that time they did that. Those were in discussion, but it was like, man, we were on such thin ice. We don't want to try to have to push that now. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, man, they should have done it. But, and I know it's easy to say now, well, that would have been a fantastic thing. I really wish they would have taken care of that. But these men were men, and women were women, and they weren't perfect. So
they're trying, like I said, they had two different viewpoints of how things were thought to,
if not more,
be done. Newly formed nation, we're weak by all rights, even though we did gain our freedom to make our own
by the
country,
by the
but it's
hair on our chinny chin chin, right?
I know. I mean, here we're battling amongst each other, trying to figure out what to do for our own government to keep going, but yet it still had the threat of being attacked by anybody else.
Well, it's interesting that I think Ken Burns, excuse me, if I can say his name correctly, he has tried to draw some of those comparisons with what they dealt with back then and what we're dealing with now, and that it's always been a struggle and always been a battle, and nobody's agreed on everything 100%. and we need to wrap our arms around each other and really find our commonalities and keep moving forward in love and patriotism and you know, and really, and also concessions, though, not just, you know, I, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, but you can just keep being wrong, I'll keep being right, you know, no, like, let's listen to each other, have open conversations and things which, like that.
So, ultimately, they did do that.
Yeah, well, it took them time, but
it took some time, but.
Sure.
I mean, during that whole thing of not knowing what direction and having a commonality with this new nation, I mean, the Spaniards could have come over and annihilated us, and then we would have been under a different rule.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's happened the way it's supposed to, and it's still, it was a great experiment, and it still is an experiment, right?
So
we'll see what happens.
But anyhow,
I'm hopeful.
Yes,
I'm hopeful.
Hamilton was fun. So yeah, shout out to my family.
I took your shout out and really, like, I think we had some fun with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have to do one of these things, so it might as well have been shout outs. It's just for that. I'm not going to have a shout out on anybody, except I will shout out to Todd, our brother in arms here. We and our arms and podcast and all that kind of stuff. We miss you tonight. You know we do, and hopefully we've done pretty well in your absence. But we'll be looking forward to next week.
It's hard with just two of us.
That's right. It's a piece of cake, man. No problem, right? As you're looking, I'm scrolling. You're scrolling while I'm looking and doing it. Okay, so that puts us into our sponsorship.
Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings.
Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts. We appreciate you. Scott and Corey, we love you. Nate, what do you have to say about that?
I'm sure they have Frankenstein.
Oh, you know they do. They do. You know they do. I've actually bought. Look, I've got Frankenstein over here from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go check them out.
Go see Frankenstein. Go at visit their store.
Them. Go see them. Yeah. They've got the Christmas. They got a Christmas Halloween festival this Saturday. So go check them out there too.
Heck yeah.
I need to. That's what I know. You and I were talking about how busy our weekend is. And so it's like, I want to go. I just want to live there. I do the same thing at work. I'm like, I want to stop and see Scott and Corey. I got to keep moving. But I really do need to stop in there and say hello. Okay. So we love you guys. Of course we do. We have the second announcements. Nate, do you want to take that as well?
Yeah. You can follow us on social media accounts. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. Mako is with two A's. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And then we sell all kinds of awesome merch. So go get you some merch.
That's right.
You just have to get a hold of us and ask what you want.
That's right.
We will have it made and sent
shirts,
to you.
Shirts, cups, toilet seats, shower curtains, the whole kit and caboodle.
What do you call them? Afghan?
Afghan. Yeah, I knew you were coming up with something really good. A doily.
with our face.
I started to say a dicky, but do you remember those?
Yeah, that's, dicky. That's
true. Christmas vacation, yeah. Cousin Eddie. They're all the rage, right? Let's not do that. I don't think I can pull. I don't think anybody can pull that off anymore, or ever did, right? All right, man. Well, how are you going to take us out of this?
Werewolf. Bear wolf.
Why are you talking like that? I thought that's how you wanted to. I thought you wanted to.
A different kind of Frankenstein.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
A young Frankenstein.
That's my favorite. I love Young Frankenstein. That's one of my favorite movies, comedies of all time. Gene Wilder, you know I love it.
Oh, yeah. And that's a wrap.
That's perfect. We want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 245 and our discussion on
Castle Frankenstein.
You got it. I'm so sorry. I went blank on there. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Sean and Todd, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.